Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Whether you're a longtime patient or you're just getting acquainted with this incredible plant, Curaleaf of Pennsylvania is honored to guide you along your medical marijuana journey. Have questions? Google Curaleaf PA or stop by one of our 18 locations across the Commonwealth.
This is the Blue White Breakdown, the premier podcast for all things Penn State football.
Talk about culture. It's something that should show up in every aspect of your program.
It's the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live. Here are your hosts, Bob Flounders and David Jones.
Okay, Penn State's sports fans, Penn State football fans, Bob Flounders, with my special guest, David Jones. He's special because he is still out in the greater Los Angeles area. Dave, you've been out in Los Angeles all week for the national title game. Probably could have been a little bit more competitive for your liking.
Did you expect that? I'm just curious what you think.
I had a significant amount on Georgia to cover. The only reason I say that, Dave, is I remember you talked passionately about TCU the last time we talked on the Blue White Breakdown. My thing about the college football playoff this year is, people aren't going to agree with me because of what Georgia did to TCU. I think both Big Ten teams blew it. I think it should have been Ohio State and Michigan in this game. It didn't happen. Credit to Georgia for catching Ohio State at the finish. But we talked last week, Michigan just gave that game away. I really think there was a good chance it could have been Ohio State, Michigan in a rematch.
Yeah, but it wasn't. Michigan always managed to step on its schlongs as it did again. I mean, they really gave away 10 points of their own and then 14 and pick six the other way.
It was crazy. It was a joke.
I think a joke, and you're a joke. Something that's, I think it was Dan Wetzel tweeted, people have been losing to TCU all year and going, how do we lose to those guys? The charitable portion of your college football psyche is thinking, well, maybe they can hang in there and then steal it again. But once you saw the domination at scrimmage on not just one side, but both sides. Also, the one thing that really surprised me was how well Georgia's DBs stuck with TCU's wideouts. I mean, they really could not get open. And I don't know if you could see that from TV, but Dugan's protection was fairly decent early. But he had happy feet, man, because he didn't have anyone to throw to. He didn't. And that was the thing that really kind of surprised me. None of his wideouts could get open. And when that happened, Katie barred the door. It got to 17-7. It didn't feel like 17-7. It already felt like 31-7. And you're going, it can't work. It reminded me in a way of Michigan-Penn State, in that you knew scrimmage was just being dominated on both sides, and there's no and it's, of course, on Georgia's side of the ball, Georgia was just wiping out whole sides. I mean, the one touchdown by Stetson Bennett, the keeper that made it 24-7. Did you see there was nobody left on the side, and they still had two blockers left over. They had a blocking back and a tackle out in front and just escorting him in like a police escort. You know? That was just untenable. So you knew Georgia was going to score 50 or more. The question was, could TCU kind of hang in there and maybe steal a couple of possessions? And oh my God, this is still a ball game. It wasn't going to happen. So, you know, what else struck me is, and you know a lot about boxing. You were back in the day a real big boxing fan. People are asking, how can this happen? How can Ohio State be within a point, you know, a missed field goal of beating Georgia and yet lose to Michigan, and yet Michigan loses to TCU, this circular competition that doesn't seem to make sense? Well, it used to happen all the time in boxing, all the time. As you remember, Frazier beat Ali, Foreman beat Frazier.
Styles make fights.
Styles make fights. And these were not complimentary styles for TCU. TCU against Georgia was a bad matchup. And I probably should have known that from the beginning. It's just that when the Cinderella story thing gets going, you always give them a shot.
Dave, for the people listening and actually viewing, if you could just share like a couple of tidbits about your decision to go out there. You've been out there for a couple of days. It looks like, what's the experience been like, what's it been like out in Los Angeles?
Well, the first day we went hiking with Herb Gould, who used to work for the Chicago Sun-Times, and his wife Liz, and I'm not sure Herb was ready for what my wife Anna had served up.
I don't know that that's a good matchup.
That's a bad matchup for Herb. You know, Herb's using they got a place in Palm Springs, and he's used to hiking flat surfaces. But Anna's got us hiking up like the cliff of Palos Verdes Estates, and that's what Herb had to say. No, so that was 8 miles and down the beach. I mean, it's fabulous. The waves were incredible. People said it was their biggest waves because of the storm in 15 years. There were 10, 15-foot waves out there. So really spectacular. And then the next day, we did another 12 miles. So I did 20 miles in 2 days of that. But the Football Writers Association past president's dinner the first night.
Oh, yeah.
And I haven't been drinking since diabetes. I was diagnosed with diabetes. I just haven't felt like drinking well. I had 3 double jacks in like a space of 4 hours.
6 jacks. Wait, don't try and hide the math, Jones. You had 6.
I'll have 6 double jacks and a rock and rye.
Kevin Carlin's in a double rock and rye, please.
Anyway, I had a little too much fun and didn't feel, in the words of Martin Short doing Jerry Lewis, I didn't feel so good a lot. On Saturday morning.
Who'd you run into at the dinner?
Well, we were honoring Chris Dufresne, my own personal hero, who died of an aneurysm suddenly a year and a half ago, and his whole family was there, and it was just tremendous. Everyone's was emotional yet happy. There's been enough distance and enough resolution in this that he was just a terrific writer for the LA Times. And I don't know if you ever met him. I think I introduced you guys at the Rose Bowl in 2008.
Yeah, but I remember the writing, the unique style that he had, very distinctive and very talented.
He once followed Bob Knight when he heard Bob Knight had left. Do you remember when Colorado beat him in the NCAA tournament? I think it was 97, right? Who was the guy from the Detroit Pistons? I can't think. Who went to Colorado? Oh, God, I'm old.
It'll come to you. Just relax. It'll come to you.
That team. He was on the 04.
Is it Chauncey Billups?
Yeah, Chauncey Billups. Sorry.
You're welcome, Dave. You're welcome.
Save me, because that's obvious. The Chauncey Billups Colorado team beat him 80-62, just tattooed him. And it was that era, the end of Knight's era, when they weren't very good. And he decided, Chris heard that he didn't get on the bus. He's back on the loading docks. And some guy said, yeah, you didn't get on the bus. And Chris started asking questions. What do you mean you didn't get on the bus, the team bus back to the hotel? He says, I don't know. We saw him walking straight out there, out the loading dock. I think he walked back to the hotel. Chris got in his car. And he sprinted over to his car, got in his car, and decided, well, it's Winston-Salem, North Carolina, in the middle of the night. He thinks maybe he'll see Knight. And he does. He finds him. He finds Bob Knight trudging in the rain in like a houndstooth hat on the side of a busy road going through some not real great sections of Winston-Salem, 2.5 miles back to the hotel. And he doubled back just to make sure he saw what he saw. And then he didn't go up to Knight and say, what are you doing, coach? Why are you doing that? He just told this story, and it's legendary. I mean, it's like Billy Knack's story about Secretariat's death as far as sports writers go. But Chris never cared about being noticed. He just wanted to tell stories and have a good time doing it. So yeah, we honored him on Friday, and it was fantastic. Anyway, we've had great weather. Unlike you guys, we had great weather until game day. But hell, on game day, who cares? That place, by the way.
We talked about SoFi Stadium. What's the scouting report on SoFi Stadium for?
Well, it is every time they build a new one of these. You know, it started with the Astrodome in 65. My God, now you look at the Astrodome and you laugh. What was the next big one? I guess the Superdome was the next gee whiz place. And then maybe Jerry World after that. I guess the first Texas Stadium, right?
Yeah, that opened in 71, and that was considered, they had the thing where they had the middle of like the ceiling was open, so it was weird.
Why did they have the hole there? What was the story with that?
I know they didn't run out of money, so I don't know what it was, but I think they just thought it would look really cool and people would talk about it for the 30 years.
And then probably Jerry World, when you said, wow, this place is immense. I remember walking in there, 10 years ago. And now this is the thing. It does look like a spaceship, but it has another quirk in that they're not really prepared for weather. It has a roof, but it also has a kind of a groove all the way around of maybe 30 feet where the fresh air comes through. And the fresh air was whizzing through there at like 30 miles an hour from one end. I mean, Jerry Palman and I went walking around the rim, and on one side, there's no wind, but it's 60. It's chilly and damp. And on the other end, it is careening through there, and I don't know if it had any effect on the game. I don't think it did because it was dry inside, but people were slipping and falling all over the place. There were people being brought out on stretchers because they hurt themselves. Old fat Georgians pulling hamstrings and stuff, and they had to wheel them out of there. It's not really built for weather, but they don't expect weather. But it's a very, very cool place. Yeah.
No tailgating, though. I heard that. That didn't.
Yeah, that pissed off the Southerners. That pissed them off. What do you mean no tailgate? I think they were worried about parking. They were worried about traffic and parking and making everything. You know how tailgaters do.
Oh, yeah. They like to stretch themselves out.
Yeah. And they couldn't have that in this in this venue. And it really had more to do with the CFP people than it did with people are trying to construe this as a California thing. That's not true. They tailgate at SoFi all the time with both the Raiders and the Chargers. Or, I mean, the Rams and the Chargers. But they just CFP people just didn't want the hassle. So they wouldn't have it. It probably is better considering the rain. I mean, it was a deluge coming out of there. It was really, really heavy.
That reminds me of the story where you had to wear Pat Forty's pants somewhere at the NCAA.
That was Dallas.
Something about Dallas. A flood.
That was a serious flood. I almost lost my life, Bob. It's not funny. Let's not go back there.
But the key was you had to wear Pat Forty's pants. It wasn't so much the flood, but yeah.
Well, I was in water up to here with my bag over my head, but I wrecked my first cell phone. It was like 06. I wrecked my cell phone was in my pocket and I forgot it was in there. And I had to kick the door open of Bo Carter's car. He said, I'll get you up there. I'll get you up the tollway. Don't worry about it. And next thing you know, we're floating under an overpass. And I had to kick the door open three times just to get it open. And the water went.
Like the Poseidon Adventure, wasn't it?
It was crazy. And then I'm like in a rice paddy in Nam, like the medic holding my bag over my head. And this water with fuel and gas and oil is like saturating all over. I had to walk a mile to the next to the hotel where we came from. And there's still lightning in the background. And I was saturated with this oily stuff that started to itch. And I had to get my pants off. I mean, I knew it was bad news. And I ran into 40 and I started looking at his waist size. And he's like, what are you doing? And he goes,
why are you looking at my crotch, Jones?
Dad, I don't know how to ask you this, but do you have any pants I can wear? And he went up and got his size. He had a 36 waist.
This is the Blue-White Breakdown.
Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Everyone's journey is different, and we are honored to guide you to the best relationship with this incredible plant. Have questions? Google Curaleaf PA or stop by one of our 18 locations across the Commonwealth.
Your Life on the Road, to me, is a book whenever you want to write it. But I mean, I just feel like it's pretty fascinating because things kind of just tend to find you on the road that other people. It could be You name it, any aspect of life, and it gets really weird with you when you're on the road.
I ran into Ryan McGee. I met Ryan McGee at the post party after the game, and I never you know Ryan McGee,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And before he was running around doing this stuff with Marty Smith, you know, the videos, he was a really good writer. And he still writes occasionally, but doesn't write the long form stuff like he used to. And I was talking to him about telling stories and having drinks. And he wrote this great story about being a videographer when Declan Sullivan died, the kid up on the tower at Notre Dame.
Right.
He wrote this great story about doing that job at Tennessee. And it was so full of detail and how you're beholden to these people who have your life in their hands, these coaches and ADs. And you do what they tell you to because you're 21. You're a 21-year-old kid. And if you're 50 feet up and 50-mile-an-hour winds, you just do what they tell you. And it was the best story I read on that whole situation. I told him that. He goes, man, I love that you say that because I really loved writing that story because I lived it and people didn't remember it. But yeah, I was telling him about I'm like Forrest Gump. I mean, I ran into Oprah Winfrey and did a story on her before anyone knew
who she was. At the Rose Bowl, right?
I probably wrote the last story on John Wooden.
The 08 Rose Bowl, was it, Dave?
Yeah. But running into Jerry Seinfeld when nobody knew who he was, I did a story on him. I did a story on Mike Tyson when he was an amateur, when he was 17. When he said, you can actually drive the nose bone back into the brain and cause brain damage. First, I think I'll dip down low and bust up his intestines. He said that to me. He said that to me.
Just
about
like matter-of-factly, right?
Yeah, this was 17 at the Ohio State Fair. And I'm going to Ryan McGee's listening to this shit and just crack it up because we've all run into people once in a while before they were famous. But things seem to happen.
My personal favorite, though, is I wish I could have been in there when it happened was you and Mellencamp in the elevator at Bloomington. That to me is one of that's got to be a top 10 story for you as far as finding you. That's just straight out weird, but fascinating.
Well, I blurted it out. That's the thing. I was late like I always used to be back then. Was that 05 probably?
I want to say it was at least 10 years ago, maybe more, right?
Yeah, 07, something like that. We're one of those forlorn games at Memorial Stadium in Bloomington.
Could have been 07.
Yeah, about then. And as you recall, he was married to a supermodel back then, a lot like Tom Brady, except John Mellencamp, he's an Indiana donor, and he paid for their football facility, their practice facility. It's called the Mellencamp Center. And so he's getting on late, too, because they're going to go up to the luxury box. But I don't see him. I see that. I can't remember her name. She was blonde. He's not married to her.
All right, you tell a story. I'll look it up. Hold on. You keep talking.
And she's in the corner, and you can't miss her. She's wearing, like, pink, and a hot pink outfit, and you can't miss her. And I start putting two and two together. And then there's this little guy who's like 5'6" in front of me with curly kind of gray hair. And he smells of Lucky's. You know, it's very obvious, like he's a heavy smoker. But all I can see is the back of his head. The back of his head is right here. And then I put two and two together and I just blurt out in the middle of the elevator with like eight people there. Holy shit, it's John Mellencamp. And he turned around grinning and said, I'm assuming you're expecting someone younger looking.
Her name was Elaine Irwin. Yep.
That's right. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, she was an IMG model. Yeah. Was he really 5'6"? I thought he was like 5'2".
He could be. He's like Joe Pesci somewhere in that. But. You know, I always idolized the guy's music back then in the 80s. I love that stuff.
Did you run into any other Penn State, former Penn State? I'm sure you saw Heather. Was she out there? Any other Penn State?
Yes. In fact, we ran into each other in the press box when we were both there early, and we practically bumped into each other. And her three boys are – I actually guessed the ages of her three boys. They said, what are they now, 8, 10, and 12? And she goes, yes, they're 8, 10, and 12. She has three sons. She's doing great. She's terrific.
What's the overall grade on your LA experience before you board your flight on a scale of 1 to 10, whether it's the game, people, the Airbnb, the hikes? What was the best meal you had out there?
Last night we had dinner with Jerry Abrams, the father of J.J. Abrams, who's a big, big Penn State grad, and all Penn State fans know about Jerry because he grew up in Harrisburg. He's quite a guy. He produced tons and tons of TV shows, a lot of TV movies, and that's why J.J. is in the business. So there's that too. We had a dinner in Brentwood, where he lives. It's got to be a 9. I mean, I this place is seductive. I got my wife Anna and my son Nick out here, and Nick shot the game. LA can be really seductive if you don't have to live here, because it's so expensive to live here. You really, really have to. You've got to be making 6 figures to even survive. Because housing, everything. I've been pricing places here in Redondo Beach, and I'm talking about like 1,300 square foot cracker boxes, $1 million.
Wow.
$1 million, you know, three or four streets inland. But it's so beautiful. It's so quiet, and the shore is fantastic. I mean, you're thinking of ways, how could I do this? How could I do this? When you've got to face the wintertime in Pennsylvania, it's not, it can be very seductive.
What's on tap for your final night before you get on the plane tomorrow?
Well, we're going to watch, we're going to have dinner somewhere. We're going to go to the Griffith Observatory up on the hill. You remember where Oprah had Adele? You remember the Adele special with Oprah?
Is your wife Anna up to this, or is this just you?
Oh yeah, I think you were on to it from the get go, weren't you? Yeah, she wants to stand in exactly the spot where opening the door. But I've never been up there. That's one of the places I've never been in LA, so I'm willing.
Okay, one more thing before we go here. I know you want to enjoy the rest of your holiday. How much are you missing the big dog, Kaiser?
Oh, when you said missing, that was. Well, he's funny. Kaiser, my German Shepherd. We have friends of the family. Joe Crawford's granddaughters, by the way, are taking care of Kaiser. They are 12 and 16. They're not to leave the property. They have him on the leash.
Hopefully, the 16-year-old's running that show. But yeah, okay. Not the 12-year-old.
Megan, Joe's daughter, the mother, is helping out there. So anyway, he misses humanity because he has to be around people all the time. So last we heard, he had taken to sitting on my chair in the living room, which he's never sat in before in his life.
It's his chair now, Dave.
On top of Cassidy, the 12-year-old. And she sent me a picture with like her little red shoe top sticking out from under this giant German Shepherd. I said, well, my God, you look like it looks like the Wicked Witch of the East after the house fell on top of her. I sent her a picture of the ruby slippers with the house on top of it. She laughed. Even kids that age just seeing the Wizard of Oz. We miss him a lot, and he's
okay.
I think he's having fun though, because he loves kids. He loves kids.
All right, that's what I like to hear. All right, Dave. Well, we'll chat when you get back. Enjoy the rest of the vacation. I'm sorry the title game didn't get a little bit more competitive, but it sounds like you're having a hell of a time out there.
Well, it was great for deadline, though. I had that sucker written by halftime. I'm no kidding. Writers, we don't talk about this stuff, but we actually love blowouts in certain situations.
Absolutely.
Because you can get your story written because the game's essentially over. Not so great for broadcasters like Fowler and Herbie, what were they talking about? They must have been into D-material by the fourth quarter. What were they? Could you hear? Or were you in a
well,
bar?
There was like an alternate broadcast, I think on ESPN2 with McAfee. And I was checking that out a little bit. He's pretty hilarious. But yeah, those guys, I don't envy those guys in a game like this because, you know, at some point, like, you know, to start the third quarter, I just don't know. I mean, you still got to kill like 2 hours, and I don't know how you do it. But if you do get paid well.
By the way, before we leave, I got to give you a shout out for your pick of Brock Bowers as third in the tournament, because he played his ass off, man. They had no answer for
him. Can't check him. He's not even eligible for the draft yet. He's coming back.
Could somebody unorthodox finally win the Heisman Trophy, or at least get to New York besides quarterbacks?
Dave, you've tried your damnedest to make it happen individually, I think, over the years. But maybe. You never say never. And Dominic Kinsu almost won 1 year, but He came in, I think, second.
Yeah, but he's crazy.
He is crazy. Yeah. They're all crazy, Dave. All right, Dave. We will see you when you get back. Have a great rest of the trip, man.
All right. Talk to you later.
This has been the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live.